All right, good morning, and wow, you guys look beautiful and beautiful. I just want to tell you all that I've been extremely nervous up until this point, but now I'm just extremely confident and comfortable being in front of you because I know that for those of you who know me, love me, and even those who don't know me, love me as well. So I can't mess up. So anyways, let me just get my timer out because I only got 15 minutes, and I want to make sure I don't go over. So. All right, cool. So I hope you guys are enjoying the service as much as I am. I've never been as into the worship as I have been today, and it's been amazing. Being a part of the singles ministry is something that has really challenged my faith, and I've increased in my faith a lot because of the faith that I see my brothers and sisters have in the singles ministry. So you guys can actually tell, you guys can actually notice that there's a lot of talented, gifted, and intelligent people in the singles ministry. So let's just give them a round of applause. As you guys might have heard in the crowd, my name is Francisco. I've been in the singles ministry for almost 2 years, and like I said, it's been really encouraging to be in that ministry. It's been really helping me out, and I've grown a lot. So I'm extremely honored to be one of two brothers to be sharing and preaching this morning. So I really want to thank you guys for listening to me. But at the same time, I want to thank the leadership for giving us the privilege to serve you in this capacity. So leadership, thank you so much. So if you don't mind, I need God's help, so we're going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God in heaven, thank you so much for being so gracious, for being so good and for being so kind and for allowing us, Father, to experience your mercy, for experiencing your love and your patience with us, Father. I know that I've been nervous throughout the entire week, Father, but you have kept me sane, you have kept me calm, and you've really calmed my anxieties, and I just pray that you continue to do that as I bring the message that you'd like for me to communicate to your people. At the same time, I just pray, Father, that you only let me say words that you want communicated and nothing more and nothing less. Father, I pray for the audience's heart that they just stay receptive and open to the message that both Fred and I will bring. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, so my main passage is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So please be turning there. And I only have one point, so that's good news. You guys don't have to memorize a lot. But I'll start out by giving you the title of my lesson, which is Transform Through Weakness. And I don't think we have that up there, so it's just Transform Through Weakness. I told you guys a little bit about myself, but I actually want to go ahead and tell you a little bit more. As a kid, I was very active and very friendly. I was the friendliest kid on the block. It was very easy for me to make friends. And that all kind of went into a box. That gift of befriending somebody or endearing somebody went into a box after my mom noticed that I had a small little dot on my chest. And it was a skin condition called vitiligo, which I have. And from 5 to about 12, that condition didn't spread too much. After 12, right before I got into middle school, that's when the condition spread to my hands and my face. And my self-esteem and confidence just plummeted. We all know, we've all probably been in middle school, so we know how cruel kids can be. So, the reason why I say that is because I want you guys to understand what my history is. I've always been very fearful of speaking in front of people. This is actually my very first time speaking to a large group of people. So I praise God for this opportunity. But that fear of being rejected or getting made fun of has followed me since my young age. So after being a victim of that fear for so long, when I turned 18, I started asking myself, where did this fear originate? And that's where it originated from. The fact that I have a skin condition that was given to me that didn't allow me to see myself in a way that I wanted to be seen. So, okay, that's covered. So like I mentioned, that gift of befriending people quickly went into a box. I became an introvert. And at one point, my only friend was my mom and my brother. But me and my mom had a lot of deep conversations, and one of the main questions that I would always ask her would be, Ma, how will a girl ever pay attention to me with a face like this? You know, how will a girl ever like me? And those were legitimate concerns. I was like 13 years old asking my mom, how will I ever get married? so I'm sorry. So seeing that my mom was my only friend at a point in time in my life, I took a lot of refuge in comic books and superhero shows. You know, for those of you who know me well, Barbarita, you guys all, Malachi, you guys all know that I've always wanted to be a superhero that can fly. And flying has always been my go-to superpower. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to be strong and powerful. And throughout all my teen years, I was looking for something, for someone to hold on to that was strong and powerful. And it wasn't until Jesus showed up that happened, where I can hold on to somebody strong and powerful. So I quickly found out that even superheroes have weaknesses. So let's go ahead and read the passage. And I have it right here, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We're not going to go into everything that Paul experienced. We know that he went through a lot of hard things, but that makes him one of the most relatable people in the Bible. And I took a lot of comfort in following his story once I became a Christian and all the things that he went through. But one thing that I really want to focus on here is that he experienced what it was like for God to say no to him. He had a legitimate concern. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. We know that. But the fact that God said no is what I really want to focus on. Because up until this point, God has not healed me. Now, I've stopped praying about it because I don't need it to be healed anymore. This is something that I need to keep me close to God, and his power dwells on me every single time that I look at myself. I say God's power dwells in me because I have a weakness. So, I just want to reread verse 8 through 9 again. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I pleaded more than three times. I asked more than three times. I'm sure that we all have something that we've been pleading to God more than three times. And there's three answers that we get. We either get a yes, or no, or a not yet. And so far it's been a not yet. And I'm pretty comfortable with a no. No, I wasn't back then. So as I go through my transformation, his grace is enough for me. For when I am weak, when I'm struggling with my own thorn in the flesh. And we all have it. We all have a thorn in the flesh that we're dealing with. As I was hearing Ben preach, I was like, did you hack into my computer? Because you took my whole sermon. you know, this is the part that I really wanted to focus on. His power is the source that can cause true change and transformation in the completion of our faith. And I'm very interested in God completing the work that he started in me. Just like each and every single one of you should be interested in completing letting God complete the work in you. So we all have different weaknesses, but we are the same in the fact that we all have a thorn we're praying about. And so far we've either gotten a yes or no or not yet. My weakness was on display for all to see, all throughout middle school and high school. But there are weaknesses that are behind closed doors. And for me, I do have a weakness that's behind closed doors, and that's my anger. And, you know, as a teenager, I was very angry at the fact that I had to deal with something that none of the other kids had. And I only saw myself. So, but I didn't notice that, well, at that time, you're so self-absorbed, it's all about me, that you're not really paying attention to what everybody else is going through. I'm sure that there were kids going through other stuff as well, but my anger is definitely a byproduct of my weakness. So we got to really be careful to keep our weaknesses in check. I'll give you an example of my anger walk. I like to call it my anger walk because I'm still not there yet. I still get angry. But I have a brother. Him and I were talking, and I forgot what we were talking about. If most of you don't know, I have the worst memory in the world. I think it's a spiritual gift, actually. so... Me and this brother, we were talking, and I know where we were, but we were somewhere, and we were having a conversation, and we were wrapping it up, and we were getting ready to leave, and he was led to grab the end of his scarf and slap me on the face with it. Man, I struggled hardcore. And, like, I felt my sinful nature asking me, can I come out and play a little bit? And I said, no. So I took a step back, and the words, "don't do that again," came out of my mouth. I said it firmly but gently, and we had a conversation, we prayed it out, and it was very good. So I just wanted to give you guys that example because anger is a byproduct of my weakness. I don't think God enjoys telling us no. I think that as a loving father, I think that as a loving father, he wants to give us the world, and he actually has. He gave us his world, which is Jesus. And it's really up to us to take hold of that gift that he gave us. But sometimes we do need to experience no. I'm not a father yet, but I'm pretty sure that most of you fathers in here have had to tell your son or daughter at one point or another no, because you know what's best for them. So I take comfort in the fact that not only am I experiencing no, not only are you guys experiencing no, but Jesus also experienced no, as Ben stated at his communion message, that that Jesus prayed, and I'm gonna read that chapter, those verses. You don't have to turn there, but he prayed for this cup to pass him, and the answer was no. So the reference is Matthew 26, 36 through 44, if anybody wants to write that down, and I'll read it. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And here we see that Jesus prayed a third time, like Paul prayed, and he mentioned. He might have prayed for it more times, but he pleaded three times. I'm not referencing the three times so that you guys can just grow discouraged after the third time. No, keep praying about your weaknesses. Keep asking God to complete his work through your weaknesses so that you may be transformed. My belief is that Jesus never experienced the Father tell him no. I think that this was the first time that there was a no to Jesus. I think that they had a pretty open, I believe that they had an open relationship throughout all of eternity, and that this was the only time that he experienced a no from his Father. There was a bigger picture in play when God told Jesus no, just like there's a bigger picture in play in our lives when God tells us no. And we can relate with Jesus in the fact that he was told no when he asked for a request. In order for him to be our perfect high priest, he needed to experience what it was like for his Father to tell him no, because he knew that God wasn't going to grant us every single little thing that we ask of him. So he needed to relate in that way. And we have a perfect high priest because he's able to relate with us even in that. So my point, like I mentioned, I only have one. And it comes from John chapter 3, verse 27 through 30. And I'm going to read that. You don't have to turn there for sake of time. But John chapter 3, 27 through 30 says, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." So the point is, he must increase, we must decrease. So when we think about our weaknesses, we should think of them in a way where Christ is being completed in me and he's increasing within me as my sinful nature decreases. So, but anyways, the last analogy that I have before I hand it off, I had an analogy that I wanted you guys to really think about, and it's of a master sculptor. A master sculptor cannot make anything out of clay unless it's soft. It can't make anything out of clay unless it's moldable, unless it's weak. So in order for the master sculptor to make something beautiful out of the clay, it must remain weak, it must remain moldable, it must remain transformable. And that's the theme for our church this year, is transformed or transformation. And if we want to be transformed by God's power like I have been, because this does not hold me down anymore, we need to make sure that we're relying on his power and letting him increase as we decrease. So stay soft, stay moldable, stay weak. I know it's not enjoyable, but there's a purpose for our weaknesses. So anyways, I just want to challenge you guys to trust God with your weaknesses, whatever those may be. Because if we try to handle our weaknesses on our own, like I have tried, it'll keep us in a place where the only thing we know is fear, and fear can paralyze us. So thank you so much, guys, for allowing me to it's been awesome. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, church. It's been amazing. The single service has been awesome. The singing was incredible. Brother Papi did fantastic. It was just amazing. Before I start, I want to welcome Daniel Min. He got baptized last week. Come on, man. I call him my main man. That's his nickname. You spend time around me, you got a nickname. That's the main man. He called me the other day, said, let's go reach out to people. Let's go to the mall. Let's go meet people. I said, man, let's do it. So he came and picked me up. We went and reached out to some people, but they're not here. I don't see them, but it's still, we went. We're going to go again. But God is just awesome. God is a good God. You know, the Spirit of God was moving this morning. Like, Alan was taking all my stuff. You know, I was like, oh, my goodness, I was going to talk about same scriptures, you know. And Francisco, what he shared, and Ben, all those things that the Spirit was just at work through the whole service. You know, suffering is interesting, you know. It's good, but it's not pleasant, you know. And thinking about all that happened with me, those of you who know me know some of the stuff. You know, and my mom should have been here by now. You know, she was supposed to get a visa, like, the 26th. And she went and they said, they denied her the visa. And when I called my sister, she told me, I said, why? And I called her and talked to her. And she said, my son, I'm distraught. You know, I haven't seen her in 12 years. And she said, I just wanted to see you so bad. And I said, Mom, I know. But I said, God is good. I don't know what he's doing, but he's good. I know he's good. Everything he does is for a purpose, for a reason. You know, God had taken the Israelites out of Egypt, and he brought them to the promise, and he said, go take it. And the spies go, 10 of them come back and give the bad news, bad reports. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 27, it says that Israelites said, God hate us. They start complaining and grumbling and they say, God hate us. And it's hard to feel like God loves us when we go to challenges. It's hard to say, God loves me. It's difficult. Because you go through it and you're like, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. He's supposed to be loving me. And so every good stuff is supposed to be happening. I'm not supposed to be suffering. But challenges come and it's for a reason. But it's good. You know, some of us have been praying for our jobs. Some of us have been praying for our children to become Christians. Some of us have been praying for healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. Some of us have been praying, some of us singers have been praying to get married, to meet somebody one day. And God hears it. And God will move in his own time. When he took the Israelites in the promised land, in Exodus 23, he said, he took them in the land, but he said, I cannot take all the people out of the land quickly, because if I do it quickly, the wild animals will grow in the land. They will become too many for you. So I will do it little by little. And when I read this verse, it came to me because I'm like, wow, everything God does is for a purpose. It's for a reason. There's a reason why he's taking his time. I don't like it because I want to hurry up. But there's a reason he's taking his time. You know, and I just wanted to look in Colossians. I just want to start with that. God is good. We just got to hold on to that and trust that. But let's read Colossians chapter 3. That's just as that same scripture Alan used. I'm like, wow, it's my stuff. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated as a right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, he said to set our heart and our mind on things above, to really think about who he is, to really think about how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. You know, when I think about Christ and all he had to go through, he said he's seated at the right hand of God. But before he sat at the right hand of God, he had to get up and come on earth to die for me, to die in our stead, to be beaten, to be tortured, to be spat on for me, sinful me, so that I could see God one day. That was the only reason he got up. He got up for you. That's the only thing Jesus did not have when he was in heaven. The only thing he did not have was us. That's it. And he got up and came here for us. And he said, set our hearts on that. Set our minds on that. And he said, for you died. I didn't say my title. Yeah. Transform to our thinking. I forgot to say my title. I just wanted to go, man. I'm like, I got to go. But he said, for you died. This word is slow loaded. He said, you died. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about inner being. He's talking about self-centeredness. Who we are on the inside. He said, self needs to die. You know, Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he says, anyone who will come after me, if anyone will come after me, he said, they must deny themselves. They must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow him. Not sometime. Take up the cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. And he said, what good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet lose and forfeit his very self? That's why Jesus Christ came and died for us. But he said, if anyone will come after me, I don't care who they are, anyone, tall, small, big, skinny, white, black, blue, yellow, I don't care who you are, anybody that will come after me, he said, self needs to get out of the way. He said, you must die. Self needs to get out of the way. And now it's all about him. It's all about our relationship with him now. With your creator. I'm just going to love him. I'm just going to serve him. I'm just going to do what he wants me to do. It's all about him. But self needs to get out of the way. Once self is in the way, we cannot do it. You know, it said, put to death everything that belongs to this earthly nature. When you keep on reading Colossians chapter 3. It said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Why do we want to be sexually immoral? Why do we want sex before we get married? It's self. Why are we impure? It's self. It's all to gratify ourselves. It's got nothing to do with God. It's ourselves, nothing to do with the other person even. It's just self. I mean, why do we lust? Why do you walk and you try to look at somebody's behind? What's the purpose? It's self. All have to do with self. Greed, what do you want more money? So you can spend it on self. It's all of it is just self. And that's what Paul said. You died. Self got to go. If we want to serve God. Self got to go. And I've been reading through the Old Testament and it really helped me a lot. And as I was reading, when God took them again out of Egypt and Moses goes up to take the Ten Commandments, and they said, this fellow took too long. Make us a golden calf. And they make the golden calf. And they begin to bow, they begin to worship, they're enjoying themselves. And God said, Moses, go, the people you brought out of Egypt. And I mean, it's fascinating. The whole time when God took them out of Egypt, God told them, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. They made the golden calf. He said, the people you brought out of Egypt. He told that to Moses. He said, that's the guy, you the one that brought them out of here. The whole time he was saying, I did it. And then when he said, no, that cannot be my people. That's what I do with the campus guys. Whenever they do something crazy, I say, that's your brother. I said, that's not mine. My brothers would have been fantastic, man. This is your brother. You know, and that's what God did. I said, this is your people. You're the one that brought them out of Egypt. Go down to them. And God called them stiff-necked people. And I said, God, what do you say, stiff-necked people? You know, Corey, can you please put the picture? You know, and you got two oxen, and the thing around the neck, that's a yoke. You know, and they're both together, they're joined together, they're heading in the exact same direction. The only way one of them go right and the other one keep going straight is if the yoke is broken. There's no other way. Other than that, they're both heading in the exact same direction. Exact same direction. And God called the Israelite, you stiff-necked people. And I said, God, why you call them stiff-necked? And I really started to ponder and think about it. And it's because God tried to yoke himself with them. God said, let me join myself to you guys. So he said, here's my commandment. Obey it, and I'll take care of you. So you do this for me, I'll do this for you. So we join together. So I put my neck in the thing, you put your neck in the thing, and we walk together. And that's what God was saying. Together we're going to go. But they wouldn't put their neck in it. Stiff neck. They're like, I'm not putting my neck in it. I want to do it. And God said, obey. Can you please put your neck in thing so we can be together? Obey. I'm not doing it. Stiff neck. You know, and that's what we do. You know, and as I was reading this, I mean, it convicted me so badly because it helped me see my own sinful nature. I am so stiff-necked, it's not even funny. You know, but I didn't realize it until I read it. I said, wow, I don't want to be yoked with God. I mean, that's what that means. One self is still in the way, you don't want to be stiff-necked. And I don't want to be yoked with God. It's not pleasing to him. You know, it's not pleasing to him at all. It's like when I thought I was selfless. I thought I was the most loving, the most gentle person, the most forgiving person you can find. And then I got in the relationship. And then I found, relationship is that he has the way of bringing, at least for me, I don't know for you. For me, he brought all the stuff out. I'm like, where's this coming from? You know, and I remember getting together with the McCurdy's. And he said, Fred, you need to forgive her. And in my mind, I said, forgive her? I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm good. You know, I don't see that I've not forgiven them, forgiven her. And he said, Fred, you need to be loving. I said, loving? I don't know what you're talking about, man. I'm loving. I don't know what's happening. You know, and Sherry was saying that 1 Corinthians 13, she said, go read. Love is gentle, love is patient. I said, wow. I said, well, I think I got a little bit in there. And I still couldn't see because of my pride. You know, but again, my neck was just stiff. I'd say, well, sexual immoral, I keep my head in the net. Lust, okay, I keep my hanging it. Love, to be patient, I don't know about that, man. So then I take my head out of the yoke. Wow. I take my head out of the yoke. Wow. And that's what we do. We put our head in the yoke until it's convenient. Wow. You know, and that's what I did as selective obedience. That's how I call it. Selective obedience. I thought I came up with it and then I Googled it and it was already there. So I'm like, I thought I was a man. I just came up with something revolutionary. I'm going to write it down. Selective obedience, Fred. And I Googled it. Somebody already got it. So I guess I'm not stealing from somebody because I came up with it on my own, but still. Selective obedience. That's what I did. I'm going to obey to a point. Now you talk about forgiveness. I don't know about that, man. I don't know. They're stepping my feet, man. I don't know nothing about forgiving. And I take my head out of the yoke. I'm stiff-necked. You know, I mean, think about it. Jesus, in Matthew 11, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, come to me, all your weary and burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He said, once you want to follow me, fantastic. All of us are, 2016 is going to be a great year. I'm going to transform myself. I'm going to, fantastic. God said, come and put the yoke on your neck. Let self go. Our mind needs to change about this. That I'm going to keep my head in the yoke no matter what. I'm not taking my head out. But that's what we do. We constantly, like, your head is in there, and then somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you look at a person. And then you look at God, and you say, God, give me a break. And then you take your head out of the yoke. I can't believe that Jesus. And you just get your head out. That's what we do. But God said, no, keep your head in there. Keep your head in there. Don't have selective obedience. Keep your head in the yoke. You know, and just follow God. You know, it's obedience is hard. You know, Timothy Keller said, obedience is hard, but disobedience is impossible. No. Disobedience is impossible. Because if we disobey God, we will not see his face. It's not an option to disobey. Now, we're going to be perfect. No, when you take your head out, have somebody tell you, bro, go put your head back in there. And you put your head back in the yoke. But it's like, it's repenting constantly. That's what we have to do. It's a constant thing. But he said, C.S. Lewis said, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, that will be done. And those whom God says, in the end, that will be done. He said at the end, there will be two kind of people. There will be people that will kneel to God and say, God, your will be done. And then there will be people to whom God will say, your will be done. In other words, all your life you didn't want to have anything to do with me, right? Your will be done. And that's what's going to happen. Disobedience is not an option. It's impossible. Because God will say, you didn't want to be with me. Your will be done. Now you have all eternity for yourself. Because you didn't want to be with me, you have all eternity now. Wow. Your will be done. Wow. You know, and again, it's something that we've got to really take seriously. As far as really being yoked with God. But he said, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Oh my goodness. Your life is hidden with Christ. When we are in Christ, when we walk around, people don't even know that they're walking next to royalty. If they knew that, they would try to shake your hand. Like when Princess Elizabeth is going around in a car and stuff, and everybody line up and they just have flags and stuff. That's what will happen when you're walking down the street. If they knew who you were. Whoa, royalty. And they say who we are is hidden. But when Christ, who is our life, again, if Christ is our life, that means we have yoked ourselves with him. Now we try not to follow him, to live now for him. That's what set your mind, set your heart on things above. That's what that means. You're not living for him. It's no longer about you. It's about him. And he said, when Christ is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, man, this is awesome. Glory. We're not just going to appear. Let me see my time. We're not just going to appear before God. He said we're going to appear in glory. In glory. I mean, when you watch now the football players now, when they score the touchdown, what they do now is this. That's a celebration. And that's what we're going to be doing. I'm going to appear in glory before God. I'm just going to be joking. I'm before God. I'm not just going to appear. I'm going to appear in glory. This needs to sink in. We are going to appear in glory before him. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy your master's happiness. And he will hold us. I mean, like Gary says, this is stinking cool. It's not just cool. It's stinking cool. You need to put stinking in front of it. If not, it doesn't sound good. It's stinking cool. We're going to appear before God. You know, and that's really something that I wanted to share very quickly. That will really transform our mind to allow it to be like God. Because when you read on in the verse, in verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, I'm just going to read. It said, therefore, God chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, love. He said, put on compassion, kindness, humility. Once we put that on and we yoke ourselves with Christ, you see what you're becoming like? The person next to you, Christ. Because you are yoked with him, you're becoming more and more like him. Because your mind is aligned with his. It's no longer about you. Your mind is not set on him. So your life now becomes his. The way that you live, it becomes the way he wants you to live. You know, and that's what I wanted to share with us tonight. That we align our mind with Christ. We allow him to transform our mind. We allow him to guide us. We allow him to lead us, to strengthen us. I thank you guys. Thank you so much for leadership. You guys are awesome. You see,
hello?
All right.
This is not my normal look, folks. it's just good to be up here to look at everybody and see my family out there, the love that's in this room. I love all of you, and it's the kind of love that comes from God. And, you know, that we have this because we believe in Christ, and Well, I'm going to babble on here, but I love you all, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, you are almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign Lord. You can do, and you do everything you want to do. Nothing is impossible for you. God, I hope that you stay with us and help us to learn to love like you do us. Teach us to do that. And just when we see other people, let us just remember that there are no enemies, that everybody's our brother and sister through you. And God, this kind of love that you give us, if we just share it, that's the way it'll be all around. I want to thank you for the way you do things. I want to thank you for the details. I want to thank you for taking us and disciplining us and making us suffer through things like a regular father would tell us no. You tell us no because it's for our own good. And everything you do is for our good. Nothing else can come of it. God, you are wonderful. We love you. I ask that you be with us the rest of the day and through our lives. We love you.